Hello, my name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am a trauma support coach and spiritual mentor who works with people from all over the world who are struggling with unresolved wounding. I do this by gently guiding them to healing, peace, and self-love through my one-on-one coaching. In addition to this, I also write a weekly spiritually based blog and I'm the host of Kelly Bramblett's High Vibe podcast, which can be heard on all major streaming platforms. My mission is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a fully certified general life coach, trauma care specialist, law of attraction practitioner, EFT practitioner, and a level 3 Usui Reiki master teacher. My first book, Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love, was released July 1st, 2020, and continues to offer further support for trauma survivors worldwide. You can learn more about my work by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. Today, I am thrilled to have Victoria Nielsen on the show to talk about her new book, Find Your Way Home, Poems and Practices to Reclaim Your Light After Loss, and the powerful woman's work she is doing. So a little bit about Victoria. She is an intuitive healer and embodiment coach who demystifies ancient practices like the Akashic Records and Kundalini Yoga to help you nurture your intuition and remember the power within, creating a safe space for you to reconnect to the most powerful, wise, and intuitive aspect of yourself. So welcome, Victoria.
Yay. Thanks for having me back, Kelly. I always, hearing people read intros, it just makes me smile because it's like, oh yeah, damn, I do all that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here. I'm just going to jump in, and I always like to ask my guests this question first, because I think it sets a good foundation for everything else. But can you just share a little bit about your personal journey and what led you to this work and writing your book?
Oh man, I feel like I've had an epiphany recently, actually, because I used to say that this work really started in 2018 after a miscarriage. But when I really think back to the lost little girl in college who had an eating disorder and who really did not love herself, this work is for her and is because of everything that she went through. And I have had many spiritual awakenings, it feels like, since my miscarriage in 2018. But that was definitely the real impetus for me to go on this journey of self-discovery, because I knew there was more out there for me. And I found the Akashic Records by following those little nuggets of wisdom from the universe. And then I was trained to open the records, and it became my solace and a really amazing tool of healing and empowerment for me. And it was never anything that I thought that I would share with anyone else. But then 2020 happened, my son was born, and I realized that, I could help other women through this modality. I could use my guidance and wisdom to spread love in the world. And from there, I feel like I've gone down the rabbit hole of so many different things, like Kundalini yoga, like human design. Like, I feel like I'm a constant seeker. And so that feeling of empowerment that I found within myself and love that I found within myself by practicing these modalities is why I'm here. And finding that path was no coincidence. And I love being able to guide women to do the same for themselves, because I truly believe we are meant to feel really good in life. And that if you don't, there's a way through it or a way to alchemize it, just like the alchemy of the phoenix, because that's not your most authentic state.
Absolutely. I always say that as well. Like, despite what our human mind and our ego mind has led us to believe, we are actually supposed to be enjoying ourselves, having fun, feel relaxed, and as you say, feel good. But I think the seriousness of life that we sometimes make more serious can bog us down. And we forget that because we're so caught up in pain pills or our relationship stuff or whatever it is. And we forget, hey, I'm actually supposed to feel good through this experience. We're not here just to suffer, just to work, pay our bills, and have a mediocre experience.
Exactly. And I feel like that cycle is what really awakened within me that you can turn that cycle into a spiral, right? You can turn it into something that has an upward trajectory, or you can turn it into something that has a downward trajectory. Mm-hmm. And why would you not choose to move your energy upward? You know, they say, what is it, that repeating the same thing over and over again is the definition of insanity. And so I am ready to break a lot of those cycles and am breaking them for not just myself, but for my family and my lineage, and learning that the energy work I do here right now is helping those in the past and helping those in the future was such a game changer for me. Because yes, on the woo-woo level, it's changing things energetically, but to learn that on the scientific level, your DNA is changing by doing these things is amazing to me. It was that book actually that you gave me, that It Didn't Start With You, that really helped me see, like, okay, this isn't just a woo-woo thing. Like, this is a real thing that you could do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great book for kind of melding the scientific with the woo. And I love those bridges that come and help us do that, because while I am as woo as you can be at this point, I haven't always been that way. And so having those different things, like the book you mentioned, or understanding the science between, you know, moving that kundalini up and that we're actually moving spinal fluids, and that made a lot of sense to me. That really helped me to connect those dots between the spiritual, the physical, and the scientific, and realize it's all intercombined. It can all be explained. We may not have all the answers where we are right now, but we're getting closer. And for a lot of things, we have discovered those things. And yeah, it's very powerful. And not only the work that we're doing when we do that healing work for our lineage, as you say, but also for the collective healing. We create those positive ripples, like I know you're doing it with your book and your work, and you're inspiring other women who then go out into the world feeling good, and inspiring other people, hopefully. And so we're also creating these really positive ripples. I feel like that is so important, especially now where we've been so gaslit and traumatized as a collective with everything that's been happening. And so I think this work right now in this point in time is just so important for so many reasons. So I appreciate you for following your Dharma and showing up and doing it. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about your book. You touched a little bit on the miscarriage, but what inspired you to write it? How did that come about for you, and how did that process unfold, and what is your hope with your book, before your book, I should say?
It's all been really organic. So the book Find Your Way Home, Moving Through Miscarriage, Poems and Practices to Reclaim Your Light After Loss, is in three parts. The beginning of the book is my story and my journey and some of the themes that I went through. And then the middle of the book is just words from my heart and poems that poured out of me from the miscarriage up until literally almost the day before I submitted the book. And then the back of the book is energetic embodiment practices to go out in the world and do, to move through these emotions that you're carrying. And I did not set out to write a book about miscarriage. I had all of these poems and I just knew they needed to be out in the world somewhere. And actually, it was you at my retreat in Sedona, Kelly, that mentioned your amazing publisher, the Unbound Press, who I love Nicola's mission of working with women who have transformational stories. And I came to her and I said, I don't know what this is. I just have these poems. I'm not really sure. And in the initial conversation with her, the title Find Your Way Home dropped in and I got full body chills. And I was like, okay, this is it. But then I still fought against this idea of miscarriage because I didn't want to be labeled with it, or really, I felt like I had moved so far past it that it didn't feel right to label and talk about. But then I realized that's why I should, because I can be the example to say that this doesn't have to define you. It doesn't have to be the thing that puts the period on your life and stops everything. Like, yes, it happened to you and it's awful. Unfortunately, it happens to a lot of women, so you're not alone. But hey, here's how I moved through it, and here's how you can too. And so The writing process was so easy because it really just, the poems were written and came out organically. And then writing my story was really therapeutic. And I had no intention of going on a book tour to promote the book. I was like, okay, the book's going to come out. Great. Like, I will, do marketing sort of my way, but I had no real plans. And really, really organically, a month after the book launch, I've started holding women's circles in different cities. And I love that it is a co-creation with each of the women that I'm working with, but also it's bringing some of the themes from the book to life. So it's really a full experience of the book that you would never get if I was just like reading it in a bookstore. And because I feel like I want to highlight the good parts of it, the joyful parts, the celebration of moving through it versus the really sad, stagnant parts. And women's circles are a beautiful way to do that because I can hold the sacred space for any of the emotions that you're going through, but then we're going to move our bodies, we're going to move our energy, we're going to release and witness one another together. And I'm in awe. I have a goal of having one circle a month in a different city, and I've stuck to it so far. So I'm really excited to continue to see what magic unfolds.
Awesome. Maybe one day we'll get you here in St. Pete. I always drop hints. I'm like, come to St. Pete.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes, please, during winter when it is freezing in Georgia.
One thing though, I wanted to mention, having read pieces of your book, and that's one thing I do love about the way your book is written. And I love books like this where you can turn to any page and there's something for you. It's not a book you necessarily have to read from, cover to cover. It is one of those books you can use as an actual tool. What do I need? Trusting that intuition, trusting spirit's going to guide you, and open it and see what's there. So I really loved that. And the other thing I think it's important to mention, as someone who has not experienced miscarriage, is that even if that has not been your journey, there is so much value offered in that book for that anyone can relate to. And that's why I think it's so powerful. Like, yes, you wrote it based on your experience and the things that you were processing through your experience, but it can support really everyone and anyone, no matter what our personal experience is. And I think that's what makes it such a powerful and potent book. So I always like to mention that when I'm talking about your book, because there are a lot of women who haven't experienced that. And I always like to point out that it is, and I even put this in the review that I left, that it really is a book that everyone can gain something from.
Oh, thank you. I love that. Some of the poems really felt I was channeling essentially guidance from, the guides and masters and just words that have a resonance. I went back reading the draft of the book and it was like, I didn't write this. Like something higher than me wrote through me and I'm just grateful. So
Yeah.
thank you.
I really think that's how it works with any type of creative expression, whether you're writing music, poetry, a book, creating art, creating a sacred space, or just any space, whatever that creative process is. I tend to believe that it's all channeled ultimately from our higher selves, our creative self, and all these things. I've had that same experience though in my writing. I'll read over, something I wrote. I'm writing two books right now at once, but I will read over it and just be like, damn, that's good. Like, I needed to hear this myself. I don't remember writing this, but that's good shit right there. I love
I love that.
it. So I totally get it. So you kind of mentioned the Akashic Records. Could you tell us a little bit more about the Akashic Records for anyone who maybe isn't familiar or is wondering, like, what the heck is she talking about?
Absolutely. The Akashic Records are really just an energetic frequency that anyone can tap into at any time. And it is often talked about as like the great big library in the sky, where all of the information of what has happened is contained, and also everything that can happen in the future. And I really like to actually think of my own record as a music note. And this is how I teach my students to open their own records because anyone can access the Akashic Records. You just need to elevate your frequency enough and come with an open heart. And you will receive the guidance that you need from the ascended masters, teachers, and any of your loved ones that want to come through. And you're attuning your energy to your most perfect note every time that you open the records. And it is literally like tuning a guitar so that you get what you need to come back to that highest vibration, that highest state. And what's really interesting is that you have free will, right? So the Akashic records are not stagnant. They're mutable based on your energy, your decisions, the energy and decisions of those around you. And so you can have a reading with someone and then the very next day have another reading, ask the exact same questions and receive completely different answers because you need different information in that moment. And the records, it's really funny, as you form a relationship, my guides that come through have a sense of humor. And I asked so many times about past lives because I was just really curious, but they were insistent that I didn't need to know until I needed to know it. And so when that kind of information comes through, then you know, okay, like now's the time that I'm supposed to move through this or know this. But it is an amazing tool of healing and empowerment that anyone can access. Like, I'm not doing anything special. And I think it just really helps you get a better sense of your own intuition and like allow you to trust that things are unfolding as they're meant to, because without it, I don't think I would have navigated my miscarriage as gently as I did, because I was opening the records all the time to receive guidance that everything was going to be okay and all of that. And actually, I did find out that I was pregnant again through the records before a blood test confirmed it, before a pregnancy test confirmed it. And everyone thought I was crazy. And I was like, no, the records say I'm pregnant. I know I'm pregnant. And then lo and behold, 9 weeks later, they were like, oh yeah, yeah, you actually are pregnant.
That's so neat. And I love that you really stress that it's something that anyone has access to. And that's a really empowering thought. I think for people to realize that this isn't some magical thing that only some people can access, that with the right tools and understanding that we can all do that. Is this something that you offer to people, teaching them how to open their records, or do you sit with people mainly in readings and open them for them and share with them? Or how do you do this work with your clients around the Akashic records?
So we do a little bit of both. In one-on-one sessions, you can either come and have a reading with me, which I like to call them embodied Akashic sessions, because as my relationship with the records has evolved, it's more than just me spouting guidance to you. It's a session where I could potentially guide you through energy work or meditations, or we could be doing Reiki together, really depending on what you need in the moment. And then as we work together for longer, I teach women how to access their inner voice and then, yes, access their own Akashic records, because I think it's really important to be filtering this information through your own lens, because I'm not perfect, right? And as someone that is reading your records and giving guidance, I try my best not to filter the information through my perspective. I try to say verbatim what I'm feeling or thinking or the visuals that are being shown to me, because if not, you may not get the message, right? Or you may interpret it differently based on my filter. And so I think it's really important to give you the tools to do it yourself so that you A, trust that what you're receiving is right and for you, but also because you're the person that knows best. And it's not me, and it's not any other guide or coach out there. It's you. And I want you to be able to have those tools at your fingertips. And I'm toying with actually doing another group workshop. I've done them in the past where I lead a group of women together to learn how to open their own records. And I think it's really important to note too, that I only teach women to open their own records. There are people that will teach you how to open the records of others, and that's amazing. I don't know. There's something about those karmic implications that I'm like, I don't know if I want to sign up for that. Like, you can open your own records, but I don't advise doing it for anyone else, at least when you learn from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would assume like with any other intuitive work we do, there's those ethical boundaries of not snooping around where you haven't been invited, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't, I think, you know, the permission is a very important part of the records, right? Like, you can't just open someone's records without their permission. You need their permission before you go in there. And also, anyone under 18, it's off limits to open their records because you could change the trajectory and course of their life with some of the guidance that you give. And they're just not evolved enough yet to have that kind of interference, I don't think. But that's also how I was taught from my teacher. It was just like, nope, these are the parameters that you can work within with this modality. And if you're cool with that, great. If not, this might not be the modality for you.
Yeah. So I've been seeing that you are currently also doing a lot of work with Kundalini yoga and guiding others through Kundalini journeys. Can you tell us a little bit about what Kundalini is and kind of how you're working with it and what you're offering right now in the terms of Kundalini for others?
Yeah, so Kundalini at its core is actually an energy that sits at the base of your spine. And you will often see it represented as a snake because when that Kundalini energy is activated, it is circulating up your chakras and up and out of your crown and is connecting you to higher states of consciousness. And so I found Kundalini in 2020 after having my son, and it has been the tool that has moved me along my spiritual path further, faster, and really just opened me wide up. And so after getting my teacher training, I was like, I have to share this with other people because it has been such an amazing tool on my journey. And in Kundalini, you practice what are called kriyas, which are just specific movements, hand motions or mudras, and mantras, which are your sound current. And they have a specific purpose and are one full activity. So, for example, when you do like a yoga asana, you may be doing just that asana for your physical body. Kundalini works all 10 limbs of yoga in one sitting, in one kriya. So, you are circulating the energy around your body completely by the time you're done doing one kriya that could be 15 minutes or an hour. There's some that are really long at like 2 hours. But they all have a specific purpose. So you have them for calling in more prosperity, for opening your heart, for strengthening your aura. And they're really, it's a yogic technology, is what it's called. And it's very specific for a reason because of the way it circulates the energy around the body. But it's been just so cool to see, because again, I feel like it gives me the power, right? To know that I'm moving this energy within my body, and you are supposed to practice a specific kriya for 40 days because not only does that form a new habit, but also it allows you to meet yourself where you are every day because your energy changes every day, but the kriya stays exactly the same. So it's a really amazing tool of self-discovery because you can find that, okay, maybe you say that, oh, when the weather's shitty, like I'm in a bad mood. Well, then you realize one day it's sunny outside and you're still in a shitty mood. So it's like, okay, it's not that outside factor. There's something going on inward. And it is, it's just really, really cool. Like I can't talk highly enough of it. Like once I realized like that was like the missing link, like I was like, everybody needs to be doing Kundalini, even though it looks really crazy. Like sometimes you're like panting like a dog or you're doing all these weird poses. And some people are like, that's not for me, which is fine. But it's really fun too, because I feel like it turns off the brain because you have to follow the specific set of rules and things in a kriya. My anxious mind that was always going a mile a minute could actually meditate and could actually get into it because it was turning off that chatter because I had to focus on doing the movement and the breath at the same time.
Yeah, that's the same experience I had. That was the first type of meditation that I felt quote unquote successful at. And I think it was exactly what you were saying. It's like I'm using these words that are very unfamiliar to me. So the brain has to be focused on that. A lot of times for me, it's like just learning the chants is challenging because, again, it's a whole other language, basically. And so I definitely was similar to you in that that was the first kind of meditation that really helped me to, like, as you say, turn off those kind of more erratic parts of my mind and really tune into the energy of the movement and the chants and all of that kind of stuff. So, how are you working with other women with this? I've seen you talking about some new offerings that you have. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yes. So I use them with my clients all the time. So I will recommend a specific Kriya when you work with me. And they're also always included in any of the women's circles or ceremonial circles that I hold. But I am launching the Portal Collective very soon, which is my on-demand Kundalini and breathwork video library. I have really found that I don't want to be tied to a screen anymore, and I want to be able to tune into my practice and get on with my day. So it is going to be available via your phone, and all of the practices within will be 30 minutes or less so that you can do them and then get on with your day from a more intuitive place. I wanted it to be really accessible, really relatable. We're going to follow a different theme every month that, as above, so below. So it will be following what's happening in the collective and in the astrological calendar. So, for example, the theme of August is courage, it's Leo season, of course. But we're going to move through these themes very intuitively. So, in January, it's actually going to be a theme of like resting. When the rest of the world says, oh, it's the new year, it's time to go. No, it's not. Not energetically. That new year doesn't really start until March. And so that's when we're going to be setting our intentions and tapping into our intuition, is during that time instead. So yeah, if you join over the next couple of weeks, there is a special founders rate that is the only time it's going to be available, and then the price is going up. But those that get in early get access to new content every month, and get discounts with me, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to take people on this journey because I feel like Kundalini is a very personal practice. And I want people to be able to do it on their own time when they're available versus having to do a bunch of live meetings. But there is also going to be that community component that you can meet other women that are doing the same kriyas as you, and you can talk about your experiences.
Beautiful. I'm so excited for you and for the women who join this container with you. Well, before we close, and thank you for everything you've shared here today, can you tell my listeners where they can go to find out more about you, your book, your work, this newest container that you're offering, and all that good stuff?
Yes. So on Instagram, I'm Victoria Margo Nielsen, MarGaux. And that's also my website, Victoria Margo, MarGaux.com. And you can always also find me on my podcast, Flip the Script with Vic, that is available on all streaming platforms with new episodes every Tuesday.
Awesome. And as always, I will have all these links in the box below to make it really easy for anyone listening to find this information, to find Victoria. So, again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kelly. Thanks, listeners.